A very good afternoon to all our listeners. I am Lucas Katenda again with our Thursday program on anti-corruption, root out corruption from Namibia. And it is now 35 minutes after 14 hour. So we shall be also finishing just at 30 minutes or so. And Root Out Corruption is a program brought to you by Eagle FM. I'm your presenter and obviously sponsored by Konrad Adenauer Foundation. Now, it is simply a continuation of our programs, and we are busy with developing an effective, useful, efficient anti-corruption strategy. And I hope you understood me from the beginning that the anti-corruption strategy is not just anti-corruption commission. Anti-corruption commission must be part of the anti-corruption strategy. And in the fight against corruption, you do not have just anti-corruption commissions and so on, but we spoke about assessing the nature and extent of corruption. We need then specialized anti-corruption agencies that can be in our case, the anti-corruption commission. We have to strengthen offices of audit and auditor general in our case. And then we need to strengthen the office of ombudsman. Also, in our case, we have an ombudsman in Namibia. And then we also have to strengthen judicial institutions. Now, in this case today, I would like us to speak about two tools. We are not following them in order, but we pick the one that we think will help us understand. Now, we don't need just judiciary system that is very strong, anti-corruption agencies and all that, but we also need what we call civil service reform to strengthen service delivery. Civil service reform to strengthen service delivery. So in many countries, the inadequate management and remuneration of civil servants are among the chief causes of corruption and consequently of inadequate public service delivery. So you can already see now the case here that studies are done. And here is the United Nations document that says in many countries. Okay. I don't think this is a vague statement or empty statement. In many countries, now you have to find yourself in Namibia and determine whether Namibia is part of these many countries where there is inadequate management. There is management, but it is not adequate. It's not sufficient. And inadequate remuneration of civil servants. Yeah. Those two problems cause corruption to crop up, to flourish, and to live in these countries. So if you have inadequate management, if you have inadequate remuneration, when we talk of management, maybe the case is clear. But remuneration, it's a case of argument. What is it that we will use to determine if the remuneration for nurses, for instance, or for teachers, for instance, is sufficient? I keep on saying education and health are recipient of our large chunk in terms of budget, because they are doing very, very essential work. Education is laying the foundation for the rest of Namibia. All our children must be educated and so on, and therefore education is kind of the foundation layers. And health is to make sure that those who are laying foundation and the foundation itself is healthy in terms of food, in terms of nutrition, in terms of that. So how are we remunerating this group of people, for instance? When I say for instance, it's not to exclude others. I'm only saying for an example. What can we say, how do we know that this remuneration is not sufficient, is inadequate? How do we know that people need to get more or need to get lesser of the monies, if you know what I mean? Because if we do not have that, we are breeding corruption, and consequently, we are breeding inadequate public service delivery. I need not to say anything about public service delivery in Namibia. You just need to go to the rural villages. You just need to go to the informal settlements. You just need to go to middle-income places. Because as we speak now in Namibia, something must say a word to us. We have the private life and the private institutions. This is what they call private life and the public life. Okay? Private life, in this case, I mean, there are private schools, there are private hospitals, and there are private patients, therefore, the private learners, and therefore public patients and public learners. So you go in one area, a certain group of people do not send their children to the public school because they have money, they have everything is required, and therefore they can send their children to private schools that are generally expensive and not within the reach of an ordinary old lady, old man in the village. What does it say to us? There are those in Namibia who are good enough and therefore are unable to go to the public health facility, whether it's a public clinic or health center or a hospital. They cannot go there. Instead, they are going to the private hospitals. Is it really a question of preference, or is it a question of elitism? Yeah, we do not have any other choice. We just have to go to the public hospital because it's cheaper. That is the point I have. This inequality in education provision, this inequality in healthcare delivery, should point us to whether Namibia is not one of the many countries where inadequate management and inadequate remuneration of civil servant is breeding corruption and consequently hampering public service delivery, as I have just said. So with significant investment by the donor community in the civil service reform since 1990, having failed to reach the desired objectives, so this tool by the United Nations Tool 7, it provides an insight into typical problems of civil services around the world and how they foster corruption. It also gives an overview of the integrated, long-term, and sustainable policies needed to help build integrity within the civil service to curb corruption and improve service delivery. If we really want to curb corruption, we must therefore not leave to reform civil service so that we can have an integrated, long-term, sustainable policies that will help build the integrity within civil service to curb corruption and indeed improve the service delivery. So in Namibia, people are complaining about service delivery. The question must always be whether we need to reform and strengthen our service delivery in order to avoid corruption cases. So in this tool number 7 of the United Nations, provision is made for a vision of a well-performing civil service whose main focus is to improve the general security. And please, we must now pay attention. The vision of a well-performing civil service and whose main focus is to improve general security and the quality and the timeliness, cost and coverage of service delivery to the public, and in some ways, the rule of law. So it also puts forward a strategic framework to help achieve such a civil service. The main components which are important are the importance of paying minimum living wage to public service and implementing evidence-based or result-oriented management. The example of civil service reforms in Uganda, for instance, saw a retrenchment of 150,000 civil servants, provide an insight into how successful, well-managed, broad-based, visionary civil service can be. I know that in Namibia, the main employer is the state, and the most secure employer, if you like, is the state, and then state-owned enterprises, SOEs, are the most stable employers in Namibia, because in the private sector, employees have got no job security in some cases, maybe not in all, but in some cases. But when it comes to civil servant, we must not just have a bloated civil service. We must have an effective, manageable, efficient, equipped, capacitated, capable, and able civil servants who are paid a minimum, if it is at all possible, the acceptable minimum, not just any minimum, but acceptable minimum, acceptable amount of money that is known to be a minimum remuneration so that they can do their work with happiness and joy. That is one thing. Because again, Tool 7 puts the case for integrating the various components of civil service reform by linking pay and employment reform to sound financial management, empowerment of the public to increase the accountability of public servants, extensive administrative reform, including soundly based decision-making on devolution and decentralization of staff, functions, and resources, and emphasis on institutional reform in key sectors such as health and education. I hope now you had an idea why I singled those out. They are always the first thing to come to the tongue of a person when it comes to civil service, because they are key areas and they need to be handled by highly equipped, highly skilled people, because I said education is laying the foundation, and with a bad foundation, you expect a bad building, and a bad building may actually fall on those who are in it and those who are walking by it as it crashes to the ground because of the bad foundation. So what we need, therefore, is to reform in order to find a sound financial management. Someone must be able to account for the cents that they receive. Empowerment of public, of the public to increase accountability of civil servant. We need to make sure the public, people in the public are empowered in a way that they will pinpoint what is wrong when it comes to the behaviors and the intervention of public servants. And therefore, extensive administrative reform, including now the soundly based decision-making on devolution and decentralization of staff and functions and resources, and emphasize institutional reform in key sectors such as health and education that are particularly prone to corrupt influences. Health and education are particularly, according to the United Nations, they are particularly prone to corrupt influences. Yes, indeed, the move away from project-based approach to the integrated approach is ongoing, with many donors applying various higher impact, non-lending operation, and a new range of operational instruments for looser, more country-driven approach to reform. The public and the private sectors are discussed. Particular focus is then given to the need for impartiality in discharging public duties and the requirement that public officials declare interest that may rise conflict of interest and take steps to avoid them in the exercise of their duties. As public officials frequently have access to a wider range of successive information, rules prohibiting and regulating disclosure are examined. So in a way, as we begin and as we should have done to assess the nature and extent of corruption in Namibia, we should also determine whether our civil service is infected and affected and even infested with corruption. If this is the case, we should call for reform. We should diagnose and we should call for reform. Reform including whether to reduce, for instance, number of positions, or to increase number of positions in order to exercise control, in order to administer effectively, or in order to manage effectively. So we can reduce or we can increase. We can reduce the workload or we can increase the workload. We can legislate more or we can throw away some legislative policies or guidelines or standards or rules that are governing our offices. So that is tool number 7, dealing with reforming in order to strengthen service delivery. We need only to deliver and deliver and deliver. Especially in Namibia today, we need housing. We need sanitation. We need health provision. We need food production. And we need, to a certain extent, some industries. And we need to strengthen our education so that we do not miseducate our children. And by so doing, miseducate our nation. And by so doing, be a catalyst for a failed state. So we need to reform and reform and reform in order that all of these things I have mentioned are achieved at a particular period of time. So before I open the line for the callers to bring in their calls, I would like now to speak about the code and the standards of conduct. So that is now in tool number 8, which deals with extensively or examines extensively additional rules that may be applied to key public sector groups such as the police, the law enforcement officials, members of the legislative bodies, and other elected officials and judicial officers, including judges. Okay? Additional rules. How should people in the police force behave? How should people in the law enforcement agencies behave? How people in the legislative bodies behave, and how should elected officials, other elected officials, and how could or how should judicial officers, judges and so on, magistrates, how should they behave, lawyers and so on, and advocates. So hereby it is recognized that the extent to which private sector codes in will feature in national anti-corruption programs will depend on some degree on the extent which private sector activities are considered to affect the public interest. When the private sector activities are considered to affect the public interest, reform. For example, the public interest would be triggered if corrupt practices entered stock market trading, given that a clean market is necessary for economic prosperity and stability of the country. A code of conduct for the media is also given prominence in Tool 8 as the question of public accountability of institutions and officials in the vital anti-corruption programs. And the media provide information that allows members of the public to make informed choices about governance and other important matters. So we don't just need the reform of the civil service and to determine the nature of civil service, the type of people who must be employed, the type of control, the type of management and administration that must be in place. But then there must also be a code of conduct for all the officials certain behaviors must be expected of certain groups. If you are a teacher, you are expected to behave like this. If you are a nurse, like myself, you have to behave like this. If you are a police officer, you are expected. If you are a member of parliament, this is what we expect you to do and to be. So on that level, before we proceed then on to tool 9 and 10 and even others before those or after those, I would like now to alert our listeners that they may now call in to talk specifically about the reform. Do we need a reform in the civil service and the code of conduct, whether people are behaving in a way that's acceptable in the society? Welcome to the program.
Yes, Katenda, how are you?
Very fine, thanks yourself, sir.
Good.
Please go ahead.
Yes, you see, Katenda, when we are teaching us on this issue of corruption and other things.
Yes.
I think we need to be specific, because currently, like now, I want to give you a case study for Evalves by municipality.
Yes.
When they are planning to recruit a CEO.
Yes.
You see, Dr. Katenda, the problem is that we have been all of us checking. I was thinking SWAPO is a problem.
Yes.
But now I've seen SWAPO is never a problem.
Yeah.
The problem is all this political party that are here is just kukashon. They will never bring a solution to this country. Remember, first of all, the mayor that now running Valves buys from IPG.
Yes.
First of all, they decreased the requirement for a person to apply for the CEO of Valves by municipality. That's the first thing they have done. When they advertise the post, then now they already know who they want to recruit as a CEO.
Yes.
So it's a premeditated recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they decrease the requirement, now they come up. Now, when they decrease the requirement, after they decrease the requirement.
Are you saying they relax the expectations
in terms
of qualifications and all that?
Yes.
And experiences. Yes.
Now, the first question is, why is councillor given power to make a resolution so that they relax requirement when people are being recruited in the exact new position like CEO?
Yes.
These are the things that bring in corruption. After they have done that, now, after they have relaxed the recruitment, now, what happened is the HR executive have the power to appoint the panel of interview. Again, the councillor went to dissolve the panel that was set by the HR executive, and they put up their own panel.
Hmm.
You see?
What does the law say? I don't have it in before me, but I think there is a legal procedure how to recruit chief executive officers for the town councils and municipalities.
Remember, Valves Bay is a city.
Yes.
But they decreased the requirement because they want the current CEO of Alandes. And remember, Alandes is a town council.
I'm asking you now,
when
you say they decreased, what does the law say? Do you have any idea?
No. They have no power. They have no power to decrease the requirement. And then the other things, it's like what I'm saying, it's loophole that need to be
reformed.
Remember, like when the former CEO of Valves Bay was suspended.
Yes.
And the executive for economic.
Yes.
And the manager for property.
Yes.
Remember what PCC said? They said there is a lot of loophole in Valves Bay municipality, that the Valves Bay municipality must do this structuring and reorganizing so that they cover those loopholes.
Yeah.
The current councillor of IPC, they are using the same loophole that are there to bring in people that are not qualified. Now the question is, why when people are selected, why they are not checking on corporate governance scorecard and key performance earlier? Which, how was the person performing at Alandes? And for the fact of the matter is, Alandes is a town council. Alandes is a municipality. So they are using the same premeditated loophole that the other executive managers have used to do economic scandals to mass housing projects. Now, again, the same people who are saying they come to change, they are using the same loophole. Where will we go as a country?
Yeah, so, it's a good point. Good questions. Yes.
Yes. Where will we go as a country if all the people that have been elected that are coming are saying they are coming for change? They are coming to use the same loophole that will move the other people.
Yeah, I thought that whether it is cities, municipalities, town councils, village councils, are always working in consultation when they are recruiting, in consultation with the line ministry, and also with consulting the labor ministry issues, because these are people who will be employed and all that. Do they just stand up and say, this is what we are going to do without following any law?
No, you see, Dr. Kananda, what's painful most is these people suspended other people who used the same loophole. But now they are using the same
same thing.
Yes, you see what's the problem?
Yeah.
Because now the minister will only give a blessing later.
Mm-hmm.
But the minister does not know what happened behind the scenes.
Yeah.
That's why all these figures now, all this information, now I'm already putting them together, because I will write to ACC and I'm writing also to the running ministry. And Dr. Atenda, remember the other thing, like what I'm saying is that, remember we are in 2022.
Yes.
But we are having councillors discussing letter for 2012.
Discussing letters for 2012?
Yes.
10 years ago. What has to do with the things of 2012?
Yeah, those are the things that I'm saying. The minister, the minister of rural development, Mr. Elatu Sultoni.
Yes.
They need to grow. They need to draft up a performance agreement. So that these councillors, remember now, people are discussing things that happened in 2012, but now they already went on leave from yesterday until 23 January. But they have a lot of job that's outstanding and piled up. So the minister should always ask a report from all these 57 local authorities before this council are allowed to take leave.
No, thank you. You have some good points. You have exhausted your time, and we have taken note.
Thank you very much, Dr. Kapenda.
You're welcome, sir. Yeah, those are the things. When we talk of service delivery, when we talk of reform, whatever is happening there, I would like to believe it must be within the confines of the legal provisions, the rule of law, the security people must know, so that there are no unnecessary suspicions. So what we are expecting at municipalities, for instance, is service delivery to the residents of any of the cities or towns or municipalities. Welcome to the program.
Yes, good afternoon, Bishop. How are you?
Very fine, thank you. Yourself?
Thank God, we are fine.
Yes, is this Uncle Bwana?
It's Uncle Bwana.
Yeah, I understood now when you say doctor. Yes, I used to be a nurse. Nurses are not doctors.
No. I thought it was...
You thought I was a medical doctor.
No. I just thought it is an academic doctor.
Oh, no.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, the issue of... I agree with the universal... instrument, legal instrument,
yes.
Policy.
Yes.
Yeah, but then in our own situation, it's very difficult, because when you look at the time before independence,
yes,
discriminatory laws and practice were in place.
Yes.
And when we came, for example, when we got independence, we were not able to perhaps come up with a formula that can really say, for example, like the schools who were previously disadvantaged and those who were advantaged. When the independence came, we just applied the same formula in terms of funding, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So because now a school at the academia and a school at the Nana, those years, they were not on the equal footing in terms of funding and the equipment and everything, even the personnel.
Mm-hmm.
So now, for us now to redress those past imbalances and other things, it might, unless if it, we have to bring in some policies or acts that can say, fine, since you are getting more, this time you can get 5%, then you others who are not getting, they will get 10%. But that will be a discriminatory practice again. So how are we going to address this? We are trying to reform, even the Law Reform Commission and all these other institutions that bring some reform.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to balance up these things? Because it's very difficult. I don't understand. Because if you go there and say, okay, you Delta Secondary School, you're getting others this and that, you even have more. Will they agree to get less? Then will those previously disadvantaged get a bit more? So how do we go about this one in terms of the law?
Yeah, you mean now if the school is in rural or in a rural town, Nana, for instance, or Congo, for instance, or a school in a very bigger sort of city like Venduko, Walvisbeel, Swakopmund, or even Oshawarongo. The needs will obviously be different.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of size only, but not in terms of content, I think.
Yeah. Even the content was in the past, it was not coming. Even in the past, you see that the curriculum and everything.
No, those things are now the same. The curriculum things, teachers, and so on.
The
trouble now is when you have the schools like now St. George's, St. Paul, Gymnasium, and all that. And you and me cannot afford to send our children there.
Obviously.
And a certain person can send them.
A certain person can send them.
So but that is how is that not contributing to corruption?
What I'm saying, because it's actually legal that yes, you cannot discriminate. Everyone has to get the same.
Yeah, but you can discriminate with prices because you put the price you want and you take it or leave it if you don't have.
Yeah, no, the price is fine. The price is now that one supply, demand and supply.
Yeah.
We might even go for that one. But the issue is that if, for example, we are allocating development funds, whether it's the regional development funds, so now, and we know very well that there's no way we can discriminate if we are to give the school at Nana 10%, the school at academia or those private formerly advantaged schools, they are still going to get the same amount.
Mm-hmm.
So now, how are we going to bring in? Because we are trying to address or redress the past imbalances. How are we going to go? One time I asked that question with the school, UN, doing this kind of things. But they seem to have a problem of finding a formula that you can really segregate and do away with those unequal footing.
Yeah, and that is breeding corruption, my friend, isn't it?
No, how corruption? Because it's legal. Because you have to give them according to the formula, and the formula does not discriminate. How is it corruption?
That's why I'm saying we need to reform. If we think one school is getting more on the expense of others, maybe of other school that is on equal basis, all I just know that if a school has 1,000 kids, and a school that has 500 kids, I don't think they will be receiving the same support. I mean, it's a support that is equal, because this one will be given according to the size. Well, if the size is bigger, then the budget is bigger. If the size is smaller, then the budget is also smaller.
Maybe that works. But I'm talking about, let's say, in the past, the school were not getting similar treatment. No funding, neither, whatever.
Just to make it clear, they were not getting the same treatment in terms of funding.
Funding, equipment, even the content.
Yes.
So for us, it was a kind of related to the background.
Yes.
So now, what I'm saying that after independence now, that discrimination is done away. But in terms of funding now, for equipment and other things, after independence, you now say, fine, the school at Nana and the school at here in Windhoek should get the same thing. Because if you don't give the same treatment, the same thing, then you seem to be discriminating.
Mm-hmm.
How do we? Because if you now give the same school that was getting more to the same thing that is was getting less, how are you trying to do away with the
No, that's where I don't get you. I thought if you have a school that has 1,000 kids, and each teacher must teach only 35 kids in class, or maybe 40, or whatever the ratio that is there. You expect this school with 1,000 kids to have more teachers, isn't it?
Yes.
And then, therefore, their budget, the personal budget, will be higher.
Yeah, but
the content.
In terms of salary and the payment or this benefit, it will still be the same as those who are on the bigger school in terms of payment. Still be the same. You cannot discriminate.
But you have the number. If you have 1,000 kids in one school, 500 kids in one school, in the 1,000 kids school, you have more classes, isn't it?
Yes.
In the 500 kids school, you have lesser classes.
Yes.
So there you will have more teachers, obviously, and here you have lesser teachers.
Yes.
That one is just fine.
I have no problem. I don't have any problem with that. The problem is that because there, in terms of paying them salary, benefit, whether the school has more learners and more teachers, the teachers' salaries or benefits are still similar.
If you are a teacher, you are a teacher. But if you have more teachers, you have a little more money.
No.
Allocated to you, yes.
No.
In terms of...
It's the same salary.
But if you have two mathematics teachers in one school and you only have one mathematics teacher in one school, it means you have a double in the other school.
Yeah, but the benefit goes to the teacher,
The benefit goes to the teacher, but the benefit goes to the learners. Because without these learners, you don't have a teacher.
In terms of funding, the formula that for funding that is there by Minister of Education or wherever, they don't say, no, this school will get, maybe if that is the case, it's fine, but they don't say this school because it was previously advantaged.
Are the school authorities or education authorities giving funding to school based on what they were before? Are they supporting schools according to the needs?
Yeah, because those other, what about if the Delta Secondary School, for example, submit their needs and they are more than a school at Onga there, and then this other will get more. Because
getting more for what? Even if there are not many learners.
You don't
request things that you don't need. You ask things you need.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Thank you, Ne.
Okay, sir.
Yeah. There is Uncle Bwana making his point. Welcome to the program.
Okay.
Should I speak in
Oshwambo? Yes, it's an English program for everybody, but you can go in Oshwambo if that's all you can do.
Yeah, because sometimes I don't understand.
Yeah, what?
Corruption,
or civil service reform, to Tarane Kucha, or civil service, ilonga yakulo, or tailongwa ponele pangelo, ifikife omayakulo kolano, kotakutine milongo ihapo, o management dina iwanapo ne njabina diwanapo dina shana anwa halonge loholo mende wafiki for service wa she tane oini mimuikane ni ya pongamu ule malo wa iduroike kulombula kucha ompange limokili ni kotaduru kukufapo miti ndi teke dirandifapo omno taduru kukufapo omambo ofikola ndi teka alandifapo sha shinga ipi nga ipi ile Omeriki ilonga nga shinemo na mibi ya ukatu na nane keisa danu tava kepuini maeholo mende nga hoka imba ilikolo haela. Mala hongi vetu na apangi vetu tave enterele va dimbuke va eke business davo. Shasho vala kusupplemento income ya vini ei ni iwana. Moka la soko ala ngeno skole ya dimbuka diwa. Aeko kandi ngoshokae ila eko koko kehanga no laelo kulandifo miti ila epeni peni. Anuite kerilonge ki da for the next day. Kwa hatu tine o reformu ya pumbu wane moto ulu number 7 na kushuwani fwepo kucha owa nambele wave si halonge roholo mende ova managing wa nawa vova futa nawa opo shishu nife poshi oiponga yova nuta wake pwinima ile ova nita performinga shasho tadila dilo kukalongulonga vama mwevopo umwene veriwe dere enja bidavo vota yanje hongo la hauka ilo tayanju hakuwa hauka but inda komesho ngona keseshwa dila
Yeah, I should take a skin, Ningene, or a pangero, or a siki fango, or a siki fa. She should not see that, and Jenny, a desar, you know, daughter, that deposit to which are open now, and then only assure over fungi novonga, or a pangero, gang, gekari, Italy, to Okushuani Fapo. Ova hongi na ya ishike kumbesho na ashinge na ashinta monopo. Cha ashinge nge pangero kari na apata lika kufa. Ahakuti wa oishike oinuka dinde ya nyingo kunyamifa. Ya na piro nga ashike senya atu senya Afrika. Na piro nge nyashiko kutambula kashona yako keliko. Nona dene inaka henena. Sava tulikonjo ku ka iha tumonosha ne nandita tupo piene sava tulikonje vakwetovo na tambure kweke ongaroyo eshili se atuitungo po ngengo tatu ngatu ningi kucha shikaile ni tashikawana na ndoshi enene ngao opina shike natango ngongi umwe iro na ironga pangero umwe natango wetu natango shota mono na ndoshi webe shishona natango shidule na pi honga yoko kutambula kakashona keli po oke duli fengo unyakena
oso thank you Yeah, that was the point concerning the reform. It's just bringing his views in Oshwambo that we should be able to learn to survive with the little that we have. Anwa poenji hapakuta pokakuyo poka hapakuta po hapo lekele kenga. Yeah, but the point here we are talking is the balance that the service to the people must be of quality, must be timely, must be effective, must be professional. Yeah, because at the end of the day, you will have a society to build on. You will have a society to build on. And corruption, by definition, is a decay. This decay is not simply by stealing money. It's building maybe your room with non-quality materials. And if you so do, your building is at risk of falling apart. So the societies that we see today, where our young people are unable to proceed beyond this academic education so that they can also be self-educated, discovering things by themselves, picking things by themselves. It's because of the foundation that they are getting. They are getting a modern liberal education instead of getting a classic education, traditional classic education, where they learn to think for themselves and they learn to filter, learn to discover what works, what does not work. And therefore, our society will be wrecked because these are the people we will put in positions to be in charge of that, to be in charge of that, and we can see them, politically speaking, running after all the positions that are available. And you question yourself and you ask yourself and have discussions with others whether these are the people who should run our civil service actually. You don't want an ill-trained health practitioner. They will kill people. You don't want ill-trained scientists. You don't need ill-trained pilots or police officers or security officers or soldiers or teachers or officers or drivers. You need people with quality. And when you entrust them with something, they will be able to deliver something that is very professional, and the recipient of this service is likely going to celebrate that. Thank you. I went to that clinic in a very timely manner, in a professional manner. I received my service and I went back home happy, and I am continuing with my daily activities. Rather than having a person going to the clinic and when they come back home, they are complaining because they were mistreated, they were shouted at, and all these type of things, because the people are angry. You don't know why they are angry. They are angry because they feel they are working as slaves. I am not now saying this is the case in Namibia, but it must be a question of discussion whether our civil service needs reform in order to promote service delivery, in order to promote service delivery. And obviously, as we speak also about the code of conduct and codes and the standards of conduct, where people need to behave. As we have heard that members of the legislative bodies need to behave. Police need to behave and other law enforcement agencies need to behave. Judicial officers need to behave. Judges need to behave. In a way that I spoke last time, that you don't run away from your responsibility because you are farming while you are in the court, adjudicating a very serious case. Then you have a call from your farm that all of the cattle are gone. People have stolen them. You are likely going to leave the case and then you run to the farm. You see, you may do it in many ways. May take a leave or something like that in order to look for the cattle that are stolen, because you are a judge at the same time you are a farmer. This is what we are saying. You are a member of parliament, legislative members. You are a member of parliament. And then you are also a member of the fishing company somewhere, and the employees are on strike, and all the shareholders or the board of directors or whatever need to come together to discuss the way forward. And you are in parliament. You are likely going to drive wherever the organization is operating from, Lutheran, Wolfsburg, Swakopmund. And then you have to stay there for the next 2 days. You are absent from parliament and so on. You have to give excuses. That's why we are saying civil servants, public elected officials, members of the legislative bodies, judicial officers, and so on, are to be remunerated in order to prevent them from venturing into all kinds of things that will deflect their attention and distract their attention from service delivery to making extra money. And this is what I have mentioned, that if we understood, it must not just be a handout. It must also be understood by those who are treated like this. If you are a teacher, if you are a nurse, if you are a one, you are remunerated in a way. I remember, I don't know, maybe even after independence, there was an idea that nurses were picked up in the locations where they lived with a government bus at a particular time, and they all must be at the hospital before they take over the next shift. Okay? So this is the case. And therefore, if we could give incentives to people like this, I see the police are doing that and the soldiers and so on, but we also need to give incentives to prevent civil servants from conducting in a way that they will find some extra business in order to accumulate extra money to augment and to subsidize the little cents they get from the government. But the discussion should be amongst us whether this is the case in Namibia or it is not the case. But everything is there for us to see. Yes, we have come to the end of our program. It's now 15 minutes 31, or rather 31 minutes after the hour of 15. We started when it was 35 minutes. But now I would like to leave the chair and hand over to the next program. I am Lucas Katenda. The program was sponsored by Konrad Adenauer Foundation and brought to you by Eagle FM. I thank you.
Hello, Namibia. Indira pamanate muyuni walela pe. Lela pe onkaro ompu woma futiro no kuthisa ngoka haguningwa pamkaro gongodi hokatavuru okutuminako omatumaraka goe agehe na ngoka gopaipindi no taga dhanwa no kutuwa mombepo ethimbo ojo tuunjoka. Otovuru okuningashike ko lela pe. Otovuru okutura omatumaraka goe mombepo torongisa oka epa ko Eagle FM nenge ka imba nenge hoka ka lela pe nenge uture moshifo sho The Villager ni kwao ya wedhako. Otovuru okuninga omafutiro goe. Otovuru ishe okuturako omatumaraka goe ginima ya yoroka. Ngashi, omatumaraka goru kozi, omatumaraka goma hiyo, omatumaraka goma harero ya mbeku goma varo, no matumaraka goku arukehe, nguka wahara uzeithire oshiwana ashikesho monamibia, okuza warapo doranda tu, mithiringa itano, metumaraka kehe. Lela pe, oharongo ngini. Konga oka epa ko lela pe, ko Play Store, nenge ko App Store, eto katura kakareke rimongo dioe. Paturura o akauntae o shari, eto turamo o mauthemba goe. Inda ko kanjato koe ki mariwa, eto turako o shimariwa, to udhitha shoka topurwa uudhithe. Shampa wa mana o kuturamo o mauthemba goe, hogoro akucha o wahara okurungitha ehangano, nenge o vendaini, o Eagle FM, nenge o The Villager. Ronge kitha etumaraka joe, eto sindi mpoka pashangwa send, utume. Shampa watumo etumaraka joe, otari turwa ko Eagle FM, imba, lela pe, nenge ko The Villager. Ona ishwe ompito, yokuturako irongwa muwe yokomake. Tumina inimawe ko digital etumalaite.com, notai urikwa menderero. Opo ukare waguza kukara ndithi, tudengera nina kono rakita tuimwe, mbari nora, ndatungoi, hamano, ndatu ndatu, nenge kono rakita tuimwe, ndatu mbari, hetatu, 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 ne, no nora yeriari. Lela pe, yimo nena, nena, tai adhika ko App Store, no ko Google Play Store.
Okumona evi joko mikunda mo Namibia. Epangelo jo Republic ya Namibia okupitira mu ministeri wuna mapsa omea netendururo jevi ojatura po veta etendururo jevi joko mikunda ovitontintano yomvomo ovigali nambali okukwatira komeho eunga ungo jevi joko mikunda oveta oilipo okushipareka omautho mokumona evi opo kushono pekwe ontamana na kombinga evi joko mikunda. Shika, otashi pondorwa ashike okupitira mokushangitha uthemba wevi kiitopolwa yokomikunda. Omalelo gopamithigululwakalo ngoka gatambiwako, otaka kagandja uthemba auhe wevi, omanga omawili kongundu gevi miitopolwa aihe yopapolotika moshilongo, ano Communal Land Board. Taka kagandja eziminino komaindilo agehe uthemba wevi. Uministeri wo otauka metanengo kuhirika unene wehara jevi no kutura uirele auhe taupumbiwa momlandu wo Namibia Communal Land Administration System moshirongo. Uyene omavi gokomikunda otaya vuro kuninga omeindilo gokushangitha ngashi uthemba wethigururwavi okudhika egumbo neralakano jokumuna, uthemba okuthitha neralakano jokungeshefa, oshowo uthemba okukara nevi neralakano jokuganja omayakuro taga pumbiwa esiku kehe mevi jokomikunda. Ona kumona uwanawa meshangitho juthemba wevi jokomikunda, otaya kalongitha evi njoka onga jaoyeni monkalamwenyo yao aihe pwaahena upyakadhi washa. Uwanawa wokushangitha uthemba wevi jokomikunda onga ashitaurandula okuganja egameno jashigako koyeni yomavi, aholike yao panjokana, oyana nenge ayambilidhwa yao, opo yakalekepo evi ndika sigo okomapipi tagekeya. Okupitika umwene oshipambu nenge ombinga evi jontumba, shikare wala komuntu gumwe po shikando, shoka tashikeelele ompito yokwiikuthira evi, okushilipaleka kutya mwene wevi okwapewa omikanda nenge oombapila dhuumbangi uuthemba wumwene wevi, mboka tawu ulike oongamba, oshowo unene oshipambu shevi shoka atendelwa paveta, ohashi kwathele aakwashigwana ya dhidhilike nenge ya tothemo oshipambu shevi njoka jahena mwene nenge ihashi longithwa onga unapelo waayehe nenge elongitho lyontumba pathaneko lyopashitopolwa, okuyambilidha omalelo gopamithigululwakalo mokushunitha pevi omaipumo mumwe mekondjelo lyomavi komikunda. Ohashi gandja uthemba wokufuta po aakalimo uuna oshipambu nenge ombinga yevi ya kuthwako kepangelo nomatompelo giilonga yokutunga ngaashi ondjila ompe, okutanununa ondoolopa nenge omahumokomeho galwe. Ohashi indjipaleke egameno lyuuthemba waakiintu nuuthemba woongundu dhaadhima ngaashi aaselekadhi, oothigwa, aayelele, oohepele, aankundi, iilema naakulupe nenge aakokele. Uuministeri uunamapya, omeya netendululo lyevi otawu tsu omukumo omukwashigwana kehe a ninge eindilo lyomautho gameno, tashi ningwa okupitila mokushangitha uuthemba womavi gawo gokomikunda. Ooforoma dhomeindilo otadhi monika poombelewa dhomalelo gopamithigululwakalo nopoombelewa dhuuministeri wopopepi nangoye. Evi lyoye olyo onakuyiwa yoye. Owa tegelela shike? Ninga eindilo okunyolitha nina. Namibia, evi lyetu, uuthiga wetu, etumba lyetu. Oprograma yomahumitheko gevi lyokomikunda oya yambidhidhwa pashimaliwa kepangelo lyorepublika ya Namibia, ongongahangano iigwana ya Europa no German Corporation okupitira mombaanga yomahumitheko ya German. Kuyirele urwe, alikana kwatathana nombelewa iipambele yoshigwana muuministeri konomora yongodhi 061 2 083 7 9.